So this morning, we are taking a short break from the series, The God Who Welcomes. And we were looking into the book of Psalms, in particular Psalm 8. The book of Psalms is a collection of inspired songs used in the worship of God. And many of them tell of the coming of the Messiah and also predict events that were to be fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. The body of Psalm 8 reflects on God's awe-inspiring works and ways, lifting the worshipper's thoughts away from oneself and onto God, to God's greatness, away from the routine of life and towards God. Psalm 8 is one of the many psalms that praise God for his creation. And this psalm is also addressed entirely to God. Here David the psalmist reveals several attributes about God and his creation that make him worthy of praise. This includes, amongst others, his omnipotence, his sovereignty, his love, his grace and glory. Lots of important and significant words there. Now let me try and explain what all this means. As always, whenever you take the time to study a passage from the Bible in any depth, it always surprises me just how little I have understood. Psalm 8 is a case in point. It's relatively short with only 9 verses. But those verses contain such significant and fundamental truths about God. It's again one of those psalms that you could produce a detailed study over many weeks to try and grasp and comprehend some of the content. As ever, I've focused my attention on a relatively few verses and do not intend to cover the entire Psalm 8 in detail. So the good news is that I've trimmed down the sermon and it's going to be roughly 40 minutes long, so you can start your stopwatches now and you can manage your expectations from there. In some cases, this will give an indication of when to awake from the peaceful Sunday morning slumbers. So the key to all this is praising God. And let me briefly run through what I think it's saying and then give my own take on what all this means. So to summarize, this is what you normally get at the end, but I'll do it at the start. Firstly, David praises God's holy name for his majesty that can be seen in the heavens. God can also be praised for his omnipotent power in creating the perfect universe for mankind. David also praises God for using his power to conquer evil and deliver you. He further praises God for setting every star in its place and for using his power to create the universe. David then wonders that such a creator would concern himself with mankind. God can also be praised that he made all of creation out of his love for each one of us. God can be praised for giving us the responsibility to be a steward over his creation. He can be praised for his grace and for his blessing. Blessings that we don't deserve. And finally, David praises God's holy name for his majesty throughout all creation. So that's it. That's Psalm 8 summarized in 1 minute. So we now move to tea and coffee and refreshments. Well, perhaps not. Perhaps there's a little bit more that we could delve into here. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who lived between 1834 and 1892, he was the founder of Spurgeon's College in South Norwood in London. He was a well-known Baptist minister and preacher of that time, who developed a preaching style that was plain speaking, was able to connect, and had a direct appeal to the people at that time. He used language that the ordinary folk could understand. He often challenged the accepted norm, the church, the conventional interpretation of scripture, and in his own way he was quite radical influencing many Christians even to this day. Now, Spurgeon called Psalm 8 the Song of the Astronomer, as gazing at the heavens inspired the psalmist to meditate on God's creation and man's place within that. So I've called this short talk In Praise of the Creator. Now, here we go. Technology. Let's see if we can... Oh, yes, there we are. Without even getting there. First one. You set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place. That's verse 3. I don't know if you can see, it's not terribly clear, but behind that is some nebula or array of stars. There's probably a correct name for it, but it's one of these ones that you see that are beautifully coloured, and it's just, when you see it, it just, you're, well, I'm all struck by it anyway. Whenever I look up into the heavens on a clear evening, I look at the sky, all the stars and planets, maybe the odd asteroid passing by, I cannot feel anything but awe for such an amazing sight. A wondrous array of celestial bodies stretching as far as the eye can see, way beyond anything that we can understand or comprehend. Constellations and galaxies so wonderful, so complex, and so far away. A God moment, if you like. When you look up into the sky, it's almost like being a small grain of sand on the beach. One grain of sand on a beach with millions of other grains of sand. Just how small and insignificant can we be? Only then do you begin to understand how great is the vastness and majesty of the heavens that God created, and in a sense, how insignificant we are. Why should God bother with someone like me, someone who's on this planet for such a short period of time in comparison with God's infinite eternity? But God does bother. He bothers about me, he bothers about you, about the people he has created. God didn't create the universe as a one-off event, set it running, and then move on to the next project. God is the source of order in the universe. He's the one who created and sustains the universe every moment of its existence. He's not a distant, remote, faraway God. God's relationship with the universe is not some sort of academic study or exercise. When we consider his universe, we are inspired to worship, to marvel at the extravagance, the care and beauty of the Creator. God put relationship at the heart of the universe, giving the opportunity for men and women to be in relation with the Creator God. They alone are created in the image of God, given an intimacy of relationship and the responsibility of being a steward for that creation. God cares about you. He wants only the best for you, and indeed wants that one-to-one relationship with you. The God of the universe is meant to be worshipped. To him alone do we offer our prayers, our thoughts, our worship, indeed our lives. There are other voices to be heard, who, when they consider the night sky, the planets, the stars, consider all this to be just an outworking of the latest scientific theory, which attempts to explain the how it was all created, but not the why. The scientific explanation stumbles when it comes to explaining why the universe was created and continues to exist. Let me read from a poem by Godfrey Rust from this compilation of poems and songs called Welcome to the Real World. Can we have the next slide? And this is entitled The Mischief. In the beginning, God made physicists out of nothing at all. Now hold on, said the physicist, that's against the law. God, having not yet made Newton, said nothing. Then God made theologians and became man and joined them. Oh no, said the theologians, it's one thing or the other, God or man. God smiled and passed the bread and the wine. Finally, God made philosophers and died for them. We have got you there, said the philosophers. Immortals don't die. It's inconsistent. But God, having anticipated this objection, got up, packed away his shroud, and walked back into town to see his friends. God then made disciples and left. So you see, whatever the latest scientific theory may be, or, dare I say, celebrity endorsement, whatever we know of God, however we understand his creation and his purposes, at the heart of all this is the one who knows you, loves you, and is always there for you. Do not be concerned or sidetracked by the skeptics, the dissenters, and those who say they know there is no God. You know in your heart what is true, who you can depend on. When the psalmist David looks at the vastness and splendor of the universe and contemplates the great expanse, the psalmist is overwhelmed by a sense of the littleness of humanity. Human beings appear to be so small and insignificant. He marvels that God not only bothers about mere mortals, but he set them over all other creatures. Considering the majesty and permanence of the moon and stars that God has created, David wonders, what do human beings amount to that you, O God, should take them into account? In view of God's handiwork and the limitless of his creation, David is awestruck by the Lord's concern for human beings and the position he gave them to rule over creation. God honors us so much that he gave us authority over that very same creation. In drawing this to a close, we live in an age of experts. We're all experts nowadays. Even if it's just watching a sports program on television, there are so many pundits who have an opinion on that sport, the events of a particular game, before the match, halftime, full-time analysis. As I was saying, we're all experts nowadays. You may feel that you're not an expert. Don't know enough about the Bible, about God, or indeed who Jesus is. Don't be sidetracked by all you hear outside, all that external noise, the stuff that goes on in the background. Find out for yourself, investigate, ask questions and explore who God is and why you are here on this earth as part of his creation. Find out his purpose for your life. Yes, he does have a purpose for each one of us, each one that's here this morning. Does that surprise you? A plan for me? You only need to take a few moments to reflect on your life and see where God has been at work and is continuing to work. See where his guiding hand helped and led you through difficult situations, helped you when you weren't even aware of his presence. You do matter to God. This is the God who quietly waits for you to turn to him, or in some cases, return to him, and acknowledge him in your life. Accept Jesus, his son, as your very own personal savior. Only you can do that. No one else can do it for you. Praise God for his creation. Why not turn to God? Have that conversation with him. And let him know that you're here. We, men and women, are the Lord's ultimate creation and masterpiece. It is for us to declare, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Which brings us to our final song this morning, King of Kings, Majesty. Please stand as you're able.